When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. It's the crossover that none of you thought you wanted, but you're getting anyway. It's kind of a black box wire crossover in this, hosted by Scout. It's like a three-way crossover. Threemium, that's what we call it. I'm joined by Zofar and Late Riser. Late Riser, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just can't wait for FPL. Didn't play any fantasy football during the World Cup. So, yeah, I want to look at the screen and want to get some points. So, ready for it.
You missed out. You missed out on some great games. You know, everyone's really, really happy with how all that went. What about you, Zof? Did you play any fantasy over the World Cup? No.
Nope.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Just enjoyed the football.
Yeah, you both got a nice break. Yeah. I wasn't able to do that. We had some great content on the channel, but it is difficult when the game was problematic, let's just say. But yeah. We are back to a game with absolutely no problems. It's nice and simple. It's beautifully simple. It is, of course, FPL. Looking ahead of game week 17, we've got some teams from both of you to look at. You've talked about this on the wire already, but we're going to go into a bit more detail about some of these. How locked are you, Zof? Are you feeling like, you know, you're ready to kind of say this is a team reveal? I've switched from draft to reveal now, because we're heading towards the final stretch. Would you say this is a reveal, or do you reckon there's still changes you can make?
I think the Carabao Cup might throw a few curveballs. If City blow Liverpool out of the water or vice versa, that might sway me a little bit. But I would say about 12 out of 15 positions are fair locks.
Well, I don't know if you've seen, but Ben Crellin predicts that if City do beat Liverpool, there could be an Arsenal double game week in 21 come in. So
I did not know that.
There you go. So that could be interesting. I mean, again, it's Ben Crellin's kind of predictions, but he's does have a good knack for these things. I think it will give them two home games of United and Everton in 21. Wow. So yeah, there you go. Might be some new things coming. What about you, Pranil? Are you kind of settled? I mean, I've seen your team. You've got some of your favourites in there.
Yeah, I think that's what I was doing before we stopped for the World Cup as well. I'm just going to stick to players that I like, that I'm happy owning, that are a known quantity to me. I feel about 90% locked in, but you never know, right, in terms of what press conference information or what the Carabao Cup is going to throw at us. I mean, you know, before we just came on, I looked at the Scout Twitter page and there were some comments from Guardiola where he said that the guys who are at the World Cup are actually sharper and the guys not at the World Cup need to get up to speed with them, which is not in concurrence with what all of us were thinking. You do take these comments with a little bit of pinch of salt because he was talking about the games today. But, you know, such bits of information still might influence us, but I think I feel locked in 90% of the way.
So we're not all going to be removing Haaland based on those comments. probably not yet. Right, let's get into some teams then. You two do have very similar teams. So a lot of the players that we're going to talk about, we'll do Zofar's first. A lot of the players are similar, so we'll cover both of your opinions on those. Little bit disappointed that there wasn't a bit more variety, but it does seem like a quite strong template is emerging again. Reece James is the latest one to kind of break into that, and Mason Mount, who I don't think either of you have got, but we'll talk about some of the 8 million mids as we go. So if this is your team on the screen, it's Kepa in goal, it's Cancelo, Trippier and James, it's Salah, Rashford, Almiron, Martinelli, Haaland, Darwin and Mitrovic. That's the template now, right? That is 11 out of 11, starting 11 people, who I'm expecting to see in a lot of people's teams.
Yep, and that's how I like to play. I think we're sort of venturing into another area of unknowns. So I like to go with the guys who I know are proven performers. And with that draft, you see, I have, I think, about 2.3 in the bank.
Wow.
So I have a lot of flexibility. Pretty much any of those guys can become the 8 million mid who I like. And like LR was saying, that spot is probably where I'm a little bit undecided still. Kulusevski, Mount, Saka, Foden. They've all thrown their name in the hat at certain point. But these three guys, I know that are enablers. So I want to make sure I have the right enablers in place. So it's a very easy exit out whenever I need it.
I guess the big thing here is you haven't gone for the triple city option. You haven't got De Bruyne, you haven't got Foden, you haven't doubled up on the defence, for example, though it's difficult to with kind of the players they've got. You've just gone for two. I mean, what's the thinking now? I mean, they have got great fixtures. They have got the potentially back-to-back double game weeks coming up? Are you just adopting a kind of wait-and-see approach on that?
So there's another thing with Salah is he played like a very much of a striker role over the last few weeks. And with Firmino playing at center forward, I expect that to continue. He becomes a goal scorer and he has the potential to go for your 20, 21 points on any fixture. Whereas KDB is playing more of an assister role. And I understand the fixtures are better for City, but Foden looks to be the goal scorer in that team. So if you look at it for 8, I think Foden offers more than KDB at 12.5, even with the rotation risk. The 4.5 goes a long way. So I just want to wait for the first couple of weeks, see if I want Foden or KDB and move accordingly.
You've gone straight in, late riser, with Foden. Not a bit worried? Yep. 3 benches in a row and then came back, scored, off in the World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what Foden's been up to off the field. That dictates whether you're
who knows what he gets getting up to him off the field.
Exactly. And that's the spot out of all the 14 that I think I'm least sure about. I might actually just go somewhere else, get a little creative with that spot based on what Pep says in the next 4 or 5 days. But if it looks like he's going to be fit, because, you know, Zoff and I were talking about it yesterday, we think that Mahrez has been with Guardiola in the last 2 or 3 weeks training with the team. On the other side, everybody else got out at the quarterfinal stage. So you have Grealish, Foden and Bernardo Silva, who are likely going to be playing on the other side. They're all coming into training at the same time. And, you know, if I had to wager any given day in terms of who's first choice amongst these three, I'd say it's Phil Foden. So, you know, and I think with Foden also, you know, when it comes to these bench headaches or when it comes to expected minutes doubts, I think you see through them. And eventually, if you're holding Foden for a period of 15, 20 game weeks, you'll get the points you're supposed to get. I think it'll even out over a longer duration. So I feel like you need, because what happened also is everybody owned Foden at the start of the season. And when game week 8 came about and everybody was in a wild card, everybody was like, okay, his expected minutes don't look good. Everybody sold him. Next game, he got a hat-trick. And then once everybody started to get him, he was benched for 2 or 3 games. So I think you can't really play the game weeks with Foden. Maybe need to perceive him as a long-term asset who's going to offer value at 8 million. You just need to persist with it.
Yeah, I think the majority of drafts I'm seeing are either going for Foden or De Bruyne in that third spot. I mean, we don't have Alvarez as an option, obviously, because he doesn't play enough and he's, I think they're in Buenos Aires or somewhere at the moment, the Argentina squad. It'd be interesting to know if Pep does manage to find a place for him, though, because obviously he's an incredible player. And then defence, I mean, obviously you've both got Cancelo. I think most of us are going to be going with him. Walker's creeping into a few drafts when people are trying to save a little bit of cash along there. But, I mean, the other options are Kanji, Diaz, Laporte, Stones. There's a few too many options there, isn't there? So it's got to be... It makes either Foden or De Bruyne, or maybe Edison. They're the only other ones you can really consider, right?
Yep. And I think Cancelo has got a 3 double-digit hauls. So we say that he hasn't got much attacking threat, but he's still top for penalty area touches. And I think he's going to be a bit of a wounded animal after the World Cup. He was sidelined by the Portuguese manager. So I think he has a bit of a point to prove as well.
Yeah. It's good to get you both on because we've got a Chelsea fan and we've got a United fan. Two clubs I don't particularly like too much, especially not Chelsea, not at the moment. But there's a lot of investment in their players, which... we might not have seen so much kind of in the weeks before. I mean, United particularly were in a, you know, big state of flux coming into the new season. They've settled down well. They're picking up results. And, you know, they've got a really good run of fixtures. Chelsea, again, they started the season with quite a few people going for quite a lot of their players and then lots of changes around there. But again, a really good group. So we'll start with Zoff and Chelsea. I mean, you've got two. You've gone for the double Chelsea defence, which is interesting given that they can't keep clean sheets. At the moment, I think Fofana's got another injury. There's question marks around who's going to play. Chilwell's out. We've got James back and playing 60 minutes. I mean, obviously you've picked them purely for the fixtures. But are you what do you think about Chelsea? Are you optimistic Potter's going to turn things around?
I would like to say things can only get better, but in football you never know. But it's a fixture play. We play the 3 promoted teams back to back, then we play Palace, then we play Fulham again soon. And Kepa was in crazy form. I don't know if he's fully fit yet, but at 4.5, even if he doesn't start the first few games, you've got Ward. I'm fine with playing every week anyway. He's got good potential. And with James, he's absolutely focal to the way we play. A lot of the reason for our dip in performances was because Chilwell and James were both out. So with him back in the team, I expect him to clean. Now, he's been doing training for quite some time. The only way to build fitness now is to play matches. And our games are quite well spaced out. I think we have about 3 games in 8 days. It's not like 3 games in 6 days as it usually is in the Christmas schedule. So I'm feeling confident about those two guys. But attack is a bit dodgy. We got some news yesterday that Mount is carrying a calf strain. He's been in training. But again, he might not start all those 3 games. You have Ziyech and Pulisic, who are probably going to be names there and there about the starting 11 now too. So the third spot is a bit tricky, but I think those two guys are quite simple at their price. They're good value.
I'm surprised at the love for Mount. I'm not going to lie. I talked to Gianni about it yesterday. He doesn't seem a very late riser player, Mason Mount. I'm guessing you're not considering him, Bruno.
I mean, it's only a fixture play, if at all. But I'm happy to leave that third Chelsea spot open because the doubles in game week 19. And I reckon when we see Chelsea play in 17 or 18, some, like Zoff mentioned, somebody like a Ziyech or a Pulisic could emerge, you know, who could become the bandwagon that everyone's jumping on in attack. So I'm waiting, happy to wait and watch, not come in, commit to a Mount because again, you know, we're not confident about him as an FPL asset. So I think keeping a spot open just to get the form guy in for the double, there's a play there.
Yep. Like it. So I think Chelsea have got the best, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they've got the best recovery period over the festive schedule as well, which does massively boost James's potential. He's gone into my team as well. He's on my wall. I don't know if you can see him over there somewhere. We know kind of the explosive nature that he can do. It's great to see him back. And it's at a time when, you know, before game week 17, I shifted all of my money out of defence. I think my most expensive defender was Trippier and I paid like 5 million for him. Whereas now we're seeing more money going back in because we've got Cancelo coming back into thinking. We've got James and Trippier's now at 5.8, 5.9 as well. So big at the back is kind of back. But I look at the rest of your team, Zof, and there's no weakness here, right? Almiron's the kind of cheaper asset, but he's not exactly playing like a 6 million mid at the moment.
Exactly. And I think we need to reorient our thinking around the prices, right? A lot of people are trying to squeeze in De Bruyne, Salah, Haaland and Darwin, etc. Almiron and the way Newcastle they're playing, they're very much a top four side. If you had to price up Almiron today, based on what we've seen in the first half of the season, he'd be closer to 7.5-8 million. So FPL is about finding value. And I think Almiron has the value there till we know that he doesn't. So I'd rather go into that, see if he's poor the first 3 games and then switch out.
Did you have him before 16?
No.
No.
Nope, not at any point.
Did you, late riser?
Nope.
Oh, nope. It's amazing, isn't it? We get on all like the kind of the best brains of like FPL onto these streams and then just no one's got Almer who was just scoring like double digits every single week. It's typical. Two players before we move on to Pernil's team is Marcelli and Mitrovic, which are the two players in your side that are different from each other. Yeah, I know. Very disappointing. Any thoughts about selling Martinelli? I am seeing a bit more kind of, you know, in the way of people deciding to sell him and move on. Arsenal's fixture's not the best. Martinelli's stats in the last 6 going into this, not the best either. But a lot of value tied up in him, right?
More than value, I think Arsenal are a bit of an unknown to me. Without Jesus, I don't know who the best option is. It might be Nketiah, might be Saka, might be Martinelli, might even be Odegaard. So Martinelli is the one I have. I've had him from the start and that's why I don't want to get rid of him yet. Once I know that he's not the best option, I feel comfortable moving to the best option. But I'd rather not take a shot in the dark on players who I don't trust.
Yep, like that. Mitrovic, final one, 4 yellow cards. I mean, the worst. What's the worst situation with Mitrovic? He plays the first game, gets booked, misses Southampton at home, or he plays Southampton at home, gets booked, and misses the first game of the double. Neither's a great option, but which is worse?
I mean, and if neither of those two happen, and let's say he plays the third game, you can't even captain him because he might get booked in the first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it becomes a single. So it is a bit of a tricky one. But captaincy for 19 already looks quite interesting because I don't like Chelsea as much with one fixture against City. You really don't feel comfortable captaining James away to Fulham, home to Man City. Those aren't ideally clean sheet fixtures. Haaland has Chelsea away. Salah has Brentford away, which is good, but not great. Brentford are usually good at home. So on paper, Mitrovic does have the best captaincy potential that week.
Yep.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Late Riser, you've gone a route which I am looking to consider, which is not starting with Mitrovic and going with your favourite glove-wearing Manchester United forward in Martial. He does look a good option, doesn't he? Ronaldo leaving, he's got back to fitness. No, I mean, there is no real competition in that spot, is there? I mean, Rashford can play through the middle, but he's probably more effective on the left. You must be pretty confident that Martial's going to see some, you know, pretty significant game time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of conversation around, you know, Martial being very injury prone, but I keep, banging the same drum where a player is fit until he's injured. And if he is injured, we're not playing a season long draft game. So you can switch him out. We have options in Wilson, Mitrovic and Khedira. We can play that game, but I'm confident of the minutes. I think he's first choice striker. He has been since preseason. Ten Hag really, really likes him. And he offers what nobody else in our team can offer when it comes to hold up play and bringing others into play. Rashford's good at being on the last line of defense, but he's not quite as good as holding up play and then, you know, linking up play. So I think there's no competition, and I think the striker position is his, and at that price, I think he offers incredible value with the fixtures. I mean, I had Mitrovic in my first draft, but I'm like, with these fixtures, I do fancy a bit of Martial, so I'm just going there.
So would you not be considering switching Martial for Mitrovic, you know, for the double or for Southampton at home? Would you be looking at keeping Martial for those three fixtures in?
I mean, it's a situation of cross that bridge when you get there. If, Mitrovic has got his yellow in the first game against Palace and he's not playing the Southampton game, I'm actually more tempted to get Mitrovic then because there's a proper captaincy option for the double. So it depends on what plays out in the first two game weeks. And if it looks like Mitrovic is going to guaranteed get two games, I might switch Darwin or Martial to Mitrovic.
No United defence?
Not at the moment because, you know, I don't know. I'm expecting Varane and Martinez to emerge by the time game week 19 comes around. And that's a problem with our defense because we're a much different team with Maguire and Lindelof playing instead of these two. In fact, I think that might have a little bit of an effect on our forward line as well because, you know, there is a lot of confidence in the front six if you have Varane and Martinez behind them. Martinez's ball playing ability is really, really good as well. So I do worry if this effect sort of trickles down. We quite not yet know about Dalot's fitness as well because he looked like he was hobbling in the last game when he played for Portugal as well. And so far he's not been training with the main group as well. So, you know, we have three of our first four starting defenders currently not playing for game week 17. So until they're fit, I don't think our defense is a go-to.
No, I mean, I've been looking at De Gea, for example, in goal. But like you say, I mean, with the two first choice defenders making it to the final, you've got to think, like you say, neither of them are going to play in 17. There's too tight a turnaround for 18. So yeah, you're probably looking at 19. And then the fixtures after 19, you know, they go straight into Man City and Arsenal away. So it's not really ideal from an FPL perspective. I look at Dalot and I think, okay, he's probably the one that you can punt on. He's got the injury. So do you go for Shaw? I mean, are we confident that Shaw's going to come straight back in for 17? I mean, it was a quarterfinal exit. You've got to think he's likely, but there is competition there.
No, I'm fairly confident that Shaw starts because so the United team, everybody who got out in the quarter, started training for us yesterday. And you have to remember that we actually start a couple of days later compared to we're not playing on Boxing Day. So there is a day or two extra of training. And I think a week's enough, you know, for the caliber of those kind of players. And there are still points to play for. I don't think Ten Hag can risk too much, especially with his two centre-backs missing.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, talking about players that you don't have in your teams. I'll come to you first, Zof. Is there anyone who you're looking at that you want, but you haven't been able to fit in to your side now? Because like I said, there is this template emerging, but I do think there are some pretty good options out there. I mean, obviously you haven't got De Bruyne, you haven't got Foden, for example, in your side. Which are the ones that you're looking at and thinking that you might want to squeeze in somewhere?
I've been toying with Madison Kulusevski in and out. I think Madison is one who interests me above all because I'm very wary of getting blindsided by double game weeks, especially when all of these doubles just seem to be having a Man City fixture thrown in. So and it's very tricky. Certain times you don't buy assets just because they have a double. You buy good assets over good fixtures. That's generally a simple way to play FPL rather than just focus on doubles. We've seen that last year. But what's tricky is this year, the good teams are having the doubles. It's not like you have the likes of Weghorst and Dennis we are investing in. These are good players.
Oh,
so it's a bit tricky.
Oh, yeah. That's brought back horrible memories.
This Kulusevski. So there's Kulusevski who's thrown his hat in the ring at a certain point. But my main dilemma was from these three budget enablers, and I can't split these Martinelli, Rashford, and Almiron. So I just made my decision easier and gone all three there.
All three. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Madison's a really interesting one because I haven't seen him. You know, out of all the 8 million mids, I'm seeing Kulusevski, I'm seeing Mount, I'm seeing Foden, I'm seeing Saka coming into quite a few teams. I'm not seeing any Madisons at all. And, you know, as an England fan, I'm disappointed that he didn't get more minutes or any minutes in the World Cup, especially when we're chasing games. And, you know, in the first game, how poor Mount was, then Henderson came in. I just wonder with someone like him, or with someone like Wilson, when they're on the sidelines and they're not, and the team isn't performing, they've got to be so frustrated not to be on the pitch. Are you a fan of Madison, late riser? He seems like a kind of a late riser pick.
Yeah. I've owned him a fair amount of the last year or so, and he's done well for me every single time. So for that Foden spot, which I'm not quite sure about, Madison is my thoughts. Another player that not many people own that is in my thoughts is Anthony Zetsov, as mentioned, because I think he's first choice on our right wing. And especially because what's been happening with Jadon Sancho, I think he sees his main competitor on the right-hand side, and Sancho's not even training with the main group. There's a little bit of a situation with him, which is why he's training with some coaches in the Netherlands. So, you know, you have a nailed on first choice right winger, and he loves a shot. Like all he loves to do is cut in and shoot. So he's very trigger happy. So I think, you know, if people are looking for a placeholder, I like him as a pick.
7.5 million, 4% owned. There's quite a few players around that kind of like 40. I mean, Kulusevski, for example, is only 4.8% owned, I think. Yeah. James is quite high. James is 12.5% or something. I guess that's from the dead teams kind of at the start of the season. But kind of where I'm ranked, I've probably got quite a few of those around there. Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like that 8 million spot is something which is going to be quite flexible. There doesn't seem to be like a really strong, you know, like this is the guy that everyone's going to have. And it was like that at the start of the season, right? I mean, there's a lot of similarities between now and the start of the season, I think. Just everyone's got a little bit more budget. Because I look at both of your teams and think, like, these are strong. These are strong sides that kind of should do well. So I think if you've built up a good team value, then you should be all right going into the rest of it. Where are you both ranked, by the way? Late Rise, where are you at the moment?
Just inside the top 200K.
You're only 1 point apart.
1 point apart. And you're going in with basically the same teams as well.
Pretty much.
Hive mind.
Yeah, what actually happened is when Zoff and I started talking about FPL again 10 days ago, I think we're maybe five players apart. I might have talked him into a player or two. He might have talked me into a player or two. And that's how we're getting closer as the deadline approaches.
Yeah. It happens. Yep. Any other players you two want to cover?
There is one player who I have a very strong gut feeling about, and I think that's Trent. I think not many people own him. I think Liverpool are a much better team with Matip in that side. You know, a lot of people are talking about how Robbo has been playing very attacking. But Trent has been FPL royalty for 3 years. Like, all three of us haven't. In the 90% of the times in which we played FPL in the last 3 years, we could not think about playing FPL without Trent. And I think you can't take away that quality from him, right? Because form is temporary, class is permanent. So I think that's one player who I think is going to come back to the norm. I think he's going to, especially because he's going to be supplying. You actually, if you think about it, you've got Darwin in the center of the box, who's really good with his headers as well. So his assist rate should improve. And if Liverpool finds some stability as a team, I think that's the pick that all of us might want to jump on very soon.
I have not seen a single team with Trent in it, which is, and you think about, I say things are similar to the start of the season, but the start of the season, there wasn't a single team without him. I'd love to see him come back. I mean, if he does come back in and then suddenly we've got this Cancelo, James, Trent and Trippier, you know, we're going back to putting all our money in defence. And then where's the sacrifice there? It means we're going to have to get rid of a Darwin or a, or Salah.
Yeah. I think what's going to happen eventually. Yeah. Go on, Sof.
No, my point is that's why Cancelo is in the team, right? Because he offers that price point where you can move to Trent or a Robertson if needed.
But if they start keeping clean sheets and they've got all these doubles, you're not going to want to sell him.
Yeah.
The downgrades are going to be interesting. I would really like to see Trent come in. Because if another premium comes in, then you have to make the decision. Salah, I mean, no one's selling Haaland, but, you know, Salah, Kane, De Bruyne, there's that kind of decision to be made there. But
I think it's fairly easy because there's so much money. Like in my draft, you see the midfield is still decent. There's still around 2.3 in the bank.
Mm.
So it's quite like even a Ben White to get to Trent is not too far off.
Mm. Yeah, but then you won't be able to get an 8 million mid.
Exactly. So that's probably the only sacrifice, which is fine because there are a plethora of mids who are available under the 7 million bracket who offer similar potential. So I think the value is there in midfield if you need to go flexibility and go high in defense later.
Mm. I like Robertson as a shout as well. Because he was mentioned. Obviously, he's had the rest as well and looks good. But yeah, no, Liverpool defenders just don't seem to be in the reckoning at all for people.
Yeah, and there is a stark difference in quality between Gomez and Matip, right? So I think the team is a lot better, functioning a lot better when Matip is fit, and he has been playing the preseason friendlies as well. So I think that might be a little bit of a blind spot where we're all ignoring this asset. I actually played around with Trent today, and to get him, I need to downgrade that Foden spot to a 5 million midfielder. And given the fixtures that we have, given Chelsea having a double in 19, given the fact that, you know, we might need a City mid as well as an Arsenal mid down the road, you can't quite go there just yet because you will need money in attack. I think that switch might happen around the 23 mark after the City second double.
Yep. I've got one more player to throw out there, mentioned in the chat. Nketiah. We talk about players very looking tempting. Like gifts. He's tempting, right, Zoe?
Absolutely. And he was very good to me towards the tail end of last season. Jumped him in early with the wild card.
He killed me.
But again, I don't know how Arsenal are going to play. And right now, I would have him in if I had another forward spot.
Hmm.
But simply Mitrovic with the double lures me in. Darwin with the Diaz injury lures me in. And there's also another player we haven't spoken about, Harry Kane.
Mm.
He destroyed me for the first 16 weeks. Didn't have him for a single week. Every week kept delivering. And we mentioned this on the wire. What we saw was his flow. When Spurs were creating very few chances, most of his goals were from penalties or from corners. Now, if he starts scoring goals from open play and Spurs get flowing again, his ceiling is massive.
And the signs of that are good because not only do we have Kulusevski back, news came in today that Bentancur is not far away. He's actually in contention to play game week 17 or 18. The thing that we were thinking about is, will they function without Bentancur in midfield? But that's happening as well. So you pretty much have a first choice Spurs 11 fit and ready to go. And I think there's a massive difference when Kulusevski is playing in that front three and when he's not for Spurs attackers.
Well, there's no reason why Son can't come back into our thinking as well. I mean, look at where he was last season. I mean, he's struggled this year, but we've seen before when everyone's, you know, slating him and saying he's finished, he suddenly comes back and he's scoring every week. It's exactly what happened last year. Again, I think there's real. I think the template is strong because I think people are risk averse going into a new season. I completely get that as well. But I think there are players that could change things around quickly. I think if Nketiah starts strong in that first game, he could easily be a player that people look to get, you know, just to double up on the Arsenal, particularly if they get another double game week or double game week or something like that. You look at Kane, you look at Son, you look at Trent, you look at Robertson. There's plenty of different directions this season could go. So, yeah, it's exciting, right? We got it back. It's back.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's what six strong teams in the league indicates, right? Template strong, but the alternatives for every team are strong too. Seven now, yeah?
Mm. Yep.
Can't forget Newcastle.
And apparently we can't forget Southampton, says Balon. He says, surprise, Southampton not been mentioned yet. Cheapest players in the game. Perul, he's getting talked about. What is he, 4.4? New manager? Who is the new manager? Have they got one yet?
They did. They got him right before the break at Liverpool. I think from Luton. I don't know his name, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that's Jones. Nathan Jones, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they've got Nathan
Jones. Very highly rated as well.
Yeah. He did great things. Luton's just down the road from me. I drive past their stadium. It is tiny. It's like so small. That's right. They've got Nathan Jones. Yeah. That'll be interesting. He's a very attacking manager.
Yep. But it's a wait and watch for me, right? You just don't know what you're going to get with Southampton. And I feel like you can afford this team, given the team value that most of us have, where we can have majority of the players from the top six, seven teams. And even when people are talking about the Perot pick at 4.4, when he's so attacking, I mean, a United defender is 0.2, 0.3 million away. An Arsenal defender is 0.2 million away. And I think when it comes to clean sheet potential, they're clear of Southampton. Yeah. So until you see enough, I don't see a reason to jump in there.
No, I look at like Castagne, the blessed. I mean, he did so well for me going into this. He's what, about the same price as Perot as well. I'm not sure why you wouldn't just go for him or pay a bit more money and get a Shaw or something. I mean, you know, I guess if you've got a Patterson or a Bueno, looks such a good option at 3.9 and Patterson at 4, you have to pay that. If Perot was like 4, I'd say he could maybe go one of those.
Easily. But
yeah, he just is that little bit extra. Guys, amazing to talk to you both. The Wire was back yesterday, right? You did an episode?
Yes.
Yep. Everyone should check that out. Some of the best FPL content out there. Just search for The Wire on YouTube. Thanks for joining me, both of you. We should do more streams together. I was talking to Zoff before we came on. I don't think we've ever been on a stream, just him and I. I think we've done one stream, the three of us, which was like a members stream. Late Rise, you seem to think we've done more, but I can't think of any. But we'll correct that. We'll get some more. We'll get some more stuff going. Guys, thanks so much. And I'll speak to you both very soon.
Pleasure. Cheers. Thanks. Cheers for having us.